Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Gumbo Yaya, brought to you by Buku Publishing and Sable Hunter. I'm Debbie Workman, your host, and tonight's show is our monthly book discussion. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about the erotic romance Consensual Club Imperial from the Club Imperial series, and this will be book one. My guests tonight are Heidi Galbraith and Shirley Bastian. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And we're
going
to be joined
me.
By the awesome Catherine Rhodes here shortly. But let me go ahead and get some of the technical stuff out of the way. You can find Gumbo Yaya on Facebook at facebook.com/GumboYayaRadio. Buku Publishing can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/BukuLLC and at BukuLLCPublishing.com. If you're an author and you're interested in submitting a manuscript, you can do that by sending an email to b.coup@yahoo.com. You can find our submission guidelines in the About section on the Buku Facebook page and on the Buku website. Buku also has three releases to announce this week. They can all be found on Amazon.com. Loving Justice by Sable Hunter, El Camino Real, Book 2, then we have Age of the Aura, Phase 1, Champions of Power by Sam O'Dunsey, Jr. And we have Perfect for Her, City Lights, Book 2 by Kathleen Ann Gallagher. And that's our little bit of business this week. Okay. Let's start with you, Shirley. What drew you to this book one in the consensual, Imperial series?
Well, I have to tell you, we've all read all those different BDSM. Everybody has the 50 Shades of Grey, but all the men are always the dominant. And when I found out that the dominant in this story was a female, I was very intrigued by that because that was something an angle I hadn't read before. So that was really what drew me at first, was that it was a female dominant in this story.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Heidi, how about you?
I actually happened to know Catherine, and she had told me she was publishing a book, and I am kind of into that lifestyle, so I was very interested to see what she had written about and how it worked out in the book form.
Oh, cool. Shirley, what did you think of it in comparison to the other BDSM books that you've read?
I think I liked it better. I liked Catherine's approach to it. I just felt I had probably a better understanding of where Emmy's character, what made her who she was compared to some of the others. I can't say I've always had that clear understanding of that, the character who's the dominant always. And I'm trying to think of the words I want to use. I often think they try to put it off. It's more that they're so weak sometimes. It almost makes it though they went into being a dominant because of weaknesses. And I don't really see that in Emmy. And I think that's one of the differences I saw. I saw her as a really strong person, even though in this book, in the series, I saw her as a very strong person.
Yeah. I know I was hesitant to read the book at first. I had read other, books in this genre, but for a girl to be the dom, I was kind of like, where was that going to place the guy? I was just like not sure if I would like the guy in that submissive role. But I think she did it very
I know what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
I know what you're saying. Nathaniel he was much different than what I anticipated to. And I think that's probably another thing I didn't mention that really really got to me, is that he was a lot different than what I expected he would be, being that that the woman was the dominant.
I agree. Heidi, do you want to chime in?
Oh, and I'll follow those same, I'm just listening. I'll follow those same thoughts there. I was concerned that the guy was going to be a little mousy weakling, where, you know,
right.
Like, we go to 50 Shades of Grey, Anastasia was just, there's not a better word for it, a wimp.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of end up feeling like, oh, she's making women look bad, oh my goodness. And I can imagine men out there thinking, well, I don't want to read a book about a girl as a dom because I don't want to look like the wimpy man. But
right.
Catherine does a wonderful job of making sure that both characters are strong. They both have their weaknesses, but they help each other out in that sense, both in and outside of the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. And that's another reason I like this one so much, because it wasn't just about, I mean, it was a hot, sexy book, but it's not just about the sex or the domination. It's really about the relationship and them growing together.
Yeah, there
really
was plenty
like
of plot outside of yummy, steamy sex scenes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, definitely. There were so many things happening that kept me so interested. This is one, and I can't say every book I read, that I didn't want to stop till I was finished. But then I really didn't want to. I didn't want it to be the end because I was ready for book two right then and there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
It's like,
yeah,
Catherine, what did you do?
No, it's like, oh!
It's delayed gratification. That's a whole part of that word, too.
There.
I wasn't enjoying it. I wanted to know what was happening right then.
Exactly. Heidi, what part of the story stuck with you? Was one part more than the other, maybe?
I kind of like the fairy tale aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of different quotes in there, and I have my Kindle version in front of me, but so it would take me a while to find the actual quotes. But there were many parts where Emmy just feels she doesn't deserve to feel that loved. Don't we all feel that way sometimes?
Right.
And it's nice to read the book, and she does get the half, you know, to just figure out that she does deserve it. She needs to learn she deserves it and accept
mm-hmm.
the fact that someone is trying to show her that. So I liked that part of the book. I mean, obviously, I liked the sex part of the book, too, but...
Of course.
You want to have
emotional
connection.
That's right, you do. Shirley?
Yeah, what she's saying, definitely. You do. I got attached to the characters. That's why it was when I got to the last word, it's like, oh, I need to know more. I'm ready. And I was just, that's another reason I couldn't put it down, is because I was so drawn in and I had to know what was happening next. And like you said, it wasn't just about the sex, which was very good. There were so many other things happening, and Catherine does such a great job of not losing the reader.
I agree.
Sometimes when they try to put all these other things are going on, you're going like, wait a minute, where are we with hers? I knew exactly where we were and who was who, and I liked that because I didn't get lost, and I didn't have to go back to read it just to remember what they were talking about, what she was getting at, what scenario was happening. And that was something about the book that I really liked, is that she kept everything together and kept you there and didn't lose you as a reader.
I agree 100%. And I love all the characters that she brought in, and you were curious about them, and I'm hoping they each get their own story.
Oh, yeah.
Heidi, what do you look for in a story? What are the good ingredients for you?
Definitely good characters who aren't just like surface characters. I want them to have some depth, and I want the plot to have some depth too. And you know, since we're talking about this genre where there is sex scenes that you're looking forward to in there, you don't want it to read like a cheesy porn. You want it to be a good plot, and for there to be multiple layers of it But then again, not so many different characters that you can't even remember who's who. And wait a minute, you know, four chapters later, Bob shows up again, and you're like, I don't even remember who Bob was.
Mm-hmm.
Because they only talked about him for 2 seconds. I do need something that is quick to read, too. I don't want to get bogged down and have to think too much. I'm a chick lit kind of girl. I like to read for pleasure and not to be bogged down in too many knowledges, and I don't want to have to look things up because I don't understand something.
Too technical, yeah.
Yes.
Shirley, how about you?
I like, you don't want to have to do research just so you could keep up with the book.
That's
what I was thinking in my head when Heidi was talking. It's like, yeah, you don't want to have to put it down and go do some research so you can come back and figure out what was happening.
I've read a couple of books where you have to write down characters and write a little note next to them because I can't remember going back. Oh, wait, who was that one again? Who was that one again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I've had to do that once or twice. Yeah. Luckily, Catherine is such a wonderful storyteller, we didn't need to do that.
No, she weaves a wonderful web.
What did you think of Emmy's stage name in the book?
I'm sorry, what did you ask, what her stage name?
What did you think of Emmy's stage name in the book?
Well, it's a great play on words.
Yeah. I love her blurb on Amazon. I mean, her blurb is awesome.
I don't even remember what her blurb says. That's terrible. It's been so long since I read it.
For you both, has reading consensual made you want to read other books with a dominatrix as one of the leads?
Well, I've now read every single one of Catherine's, and I love her. And not just because I know her, but because I actually love her style of writing. And I have read a couple other ones, and I can't think of a name to save my life right now. But, yeah, and I'm not the dominant person in a relationship. I'm very much a submissive. But to read it from another point of view where it's not me and I can picture myself in that role, it is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. Shirley?
I haven't. And in all honesty, I think probably if I had to say why I haven't read any other books with a female dominant is because Catherine has written this so well, and the characters, they're just so good. I'm afraid to read someone else's that has a female dominant that I'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, I just because of some of the things I've read where the male was the dominant, and she just, I think I'll be disappointed if I try to read one that has another female. So I haven't even looked, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm. And I think she kept this one classy, too, you know, in my opinion.
Definitely.
I like the way, she definitely kept it classy. What makes you, Heidi, what makes you run to pick up an author's second book? What does it take to lead you to that second book? You know, a lot of times you might read a book and you're like, well, you know, I see a lot of times when I go through reviews or something like that, or Amazon or even on Facebook, you know, a lot of people they have the free books now. And some people are glad that a book might be free. They might not want that second book or whatever, don't like whatever there is about it. What makes you run to that second book?
I have to have read the first book quickly. If a book takes me more than, I'm a fast reader, so don't judge my times on your times. If a book takes me more than 2 or 3 days to read, I'm probably not going to read a book from that author.
Mm.
Because that means that I wasn't drawn in so much that I wasn't spending every 5 minutes I had reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Consensual, it was reading it on the app on my phone in line at the bank. It was reading it for 2 minutes when, you know, you're between picking up one kid from school and dropping off another at, you know, Catholic school. You find minutes to read a good book. And if I'm realizing that it's been 4 or 5 days and I'm only halfway through a book, obviously I'm not drawn into it enough, and I'm not going to spend the time or the money on somebody else's next book.
Right. Right. How about you,
Shirley?
I'll
say I'm reading one right now that I'm not going to buy the next book for, but I have to finish it because then I feel like I'm wasting my money.
See, I do that too. If I've if I've bought a book and I'm reading it and I find I'm just not enjoying it, I kind of force myself to try to finish it. It may take me forever. I feel like I'm cheating myself if I don't.
Yeah, what if it really does get better towards the end? At this point, I'm 70% through with this book. If it only gets good for the last 30%, it's still not worth it.
Right. Yeah. How about you, Shirley?
I feel the same way, Heidi. If it takes me so long, I probably won't, even if it is just the start of a series. With Catherine's, I can tell you, I wanted the next book right then and there. And I believe I read Confidential as soon as it was released. So then I'm thinking, how soon is book going to be out? I need to know what's happening. And I don't want to say connect because that's not the right word, but if I can really feel the characters and this is a weird way to say it, but sometimes I feel like some of the writers I really like, it's like I feel like I'm right there in the story and I'm watching. Like I'm a voyeur in the whole thing that's happening. Like I'm part of it, but I'm not really. And if I feel that way, I definitely want to read something else. Even a standalone, I'm not even just talking series. If I read an author standalone novel and I can be drawn in that much, I am looking for the next thing to read. And with Catherine's, I was so drawn in. And that's why I couldn't wait till the next one. But I never, you know, like I'm not one to like message somebody and say, hey, when's that next book going to be coming out? Like they don't have enough pressure. But it really is about how well the author draws me in and engages me as a reader.
Can I say that I want to steal Shirley's answer?
Yeah, sure.
I'm very much the same. I become friends with the characters in a book.
Oh yeah.
If I have a bond with them, then you know you're gonna put out another book. I'll read that. You put out a book about something else, I'm probably gonna form a bond with those characters too.
True.
Answer this question.
Oh, yeah.
When I think of Nathan or Nathaniel, the first thing that comes to my mind is
curiosity.
Okay.
Oh my. that's a hard question, Debbie.
Yeah, that is. That one was fed to me. Lisa fed me that question.
I like what you said though, Heidi. Wow. I'm glad
you can think for a second. Go ahead, think for a second. I'll see why I said curiosity. I like that he was curious. He didn't immediately shy away from Emmy and what she was thinking or feeling. He was curious enough to trust her and try what she was giving. And I'm also curious to know more about him. I mean, you do get a lot of backstory on him, but like I want to know a little more about what makes him tick. I wish they would show up in more books in the future.
Well, you know what? What you're saying makes me think he had enough confidence in who he was to pursue that curiosity that you
mentioned.
Exactly,
I agree.
Strong, confident man to be able to pursue and want to know more about what turned her on and what made her who she was. That was, I think it took a strong man to do that.
Yeah, I think so too. And Catherine, she created that really well because a lot of guys, I think in real life, a lot of guys would be like, no way. I'm not doing that. You know, they're not going to give you, you know, that control. They're not going to do it.
Well, they feel a stigma towards it almost. And there really shouldn't be a stigma.
You're right. I think that's true.
You need to give it a shot. I would have never thought that I'd enjoy something like that. But you're amazed when you start participating how much fun it can be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's all I'm going to say. how do you both find the books that you read? Is it word of mouth? I mean, where are you finding the books that you enjoy?
Goodreads.
Okay.
Word of mouth. A lot of friends I know that I enjoy the same books that they read, so we'll just, hey, have you read this or that? So word of mouth is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, too, now that I have, thanks to Catherine and Bucco Publishing, I've been able to reach out to a lot of smaller authors and read their stories. And the nice thing about that is they're, you know, they're easily available. They're, I'm very Kindle-oriented, so it's great to find everything I want on the Kindle.
Oh, mm.
And, you know,
I love
my
Kindle.
Yeah,
I know.
I can't. Like, when I went away this weekend and didn't have it, and I was almost in tears, and I'm like, well, at least you have the Kindle app on your phone to be able to live that way. But, yeah, I'd say word of mouth, and right now Facebook would probably be the two biggest ones for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. How about you, Shirley?
A lot of the same thing. It
uh-huh.
is what Heidi said between Facebook and word of mouth, you know, and some of the reader groups I belong to on Facebook. I've been introduced to writers I had never heard of, but wow, I was so glad that I happened to be in that group and heard about them. And I actually had the privilege to, in the fall, I went to a book signing in Cincinnati and met some really great writers there that I had never heard of. And I thought, wow, where have they been hiding? And I was so glad I went, because I went to connect with a friend from Indianapolis, and it was the best weekend I had, because I got to meet some really great people and meet authors I had never heard of and might not have. Because they but it's a lot of it is word of mouth.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many books out there now, and the indie industry has just exploded. And I think it's easy to overlook, like you were saying, Heidi, a lot of the authors, the new authors and the ones who are not as well known. And you can miss out on something really good.
Oh, yes. Just the little snippets that I see on Facebook. I know if that's my style, I mean, there's some things that I'm not as into. And I'll know quickly reading that, and then other people will say something about it. Well, this was why I liked it, and I'm like, oh, wait, now maybe I need to read that, even though I don't think I don't like it. What if I do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you do like it, and now you have to read a whole bunch of books from that new genre, and you got to try everything.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite genre to read, Heidi?
I can't admit that. I'm a huge Harry Potter fanatic, and
okay.
I'm very into young adult books, too, but I really do read everything. If I can get my hands on it, last year I read 85 books. It's January 26th today, and I'm already 12 books into the year.
Oh, my.
I read a lot. If I can get my hands on it, and especially, you know, when they're inexpensive. If I see the little free ones here and there on Facebook, I'll download them. And then one day when I don't have something right in my path to read, well, hey, let's read this one. So I will read anything. I'm a huge Harry Potter nutcase, and I do love me some BDSM books.
Cool. How about you, Shirley?
Oh, my gosh. It depends on what day you're asking me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh, I'm a history buff, so I have a lot of historical fiction. I'm not talking historical romance either.
Mm-hmm.
I love historical fiction, but that's one mood, and then another day it'll be just a nice little romance novel. But then another day, bring on the erotica. That's my mood today. It just depends on the mood I'm in, and it really is. It's from day to day, it could be anything. I have books too, real books. I have tons of. If somebody would come in my house, they would go, "Really? This is all the different things you read." They'd be surprised, actually, I think, if they saw.
Well, on the mood thing too, it depends on what's going on in your life. If you're having a bad day, I'm going to pick up something sappy that I can sit there and bawl my eyes out to. You know, if you're in an angry mood, you may pick up something, you know, totally, maybe an erotica one, because you just need to work out some frustrations. You never know.
That's right. Shirley, here's a fun question. If you were at Club Imperial, what would your safe word be?
Peaches.
Okay. Heidi.
Sushi.
Sushi?
Sushi.
Okay.
I'm not a fan, so if I ever said somebody sushi, they would instantly know something was wrong. So
they're going to know something's wrong. that's funny. When did you start reading romance, Shirley?
Oh, even when I was in high school, I probably read romance novels, but it's probably more so once I grew up, which I'm not even sure I've done that yet. But, I read some. I think when I was a teenager, there weren't that many romance novels out there for teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
But probably more as an adult.
Okay. Heidi?
I don't remember a day in my life that my mother never had a Harlequin novel in her hand.
Yeah.
And I probably read my first few at 10 or 11 years old and really had no idea what I was reading. But yeah, I've been reading them as long as I can remember.
Okay. I'm going to bring Catherine on now. Let me
Yay.
Get her out here. Welcome,
Hello.
Catherine.
Hello.
Thank
Hi,
you for
Catherine.
Joining us.
Hello, everybody.
Have you been listening in? Were your ears burning?
Oh. Yeah, my ears were burning as I was listening in.
Catherine, I'm just going to hit you right away with this question. If you were at Club Imperial, what would your safe word be?
Probably Godzilla.
That would work, too. Catherine, what drew you? I know you said you had read, I guess, 50 Shades of Grey, and you felt like you could do that. What made you decide to go with a female dom?
Well, I had been, after 50 Shades, I had read, I was like, there has to be something better out there, so I started digging around, and I found quite a few really good books with male doms in them. And then I was like, okay, so I've read, 5, 6, 8 books with guys in charge. Where are the women? I started looking and looking and looking, and there is almost nothing out there. Now there are a few I've seen and I've read, but at the time there was nothing. And I'm like, you know what? I know I can write. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to write the female dom. And it just poured off my pen. It was crazy. It just came right off my pen. Or
cool.
Fingertips of this case.
Was there a scene that you found tougher to write than maybe another?
Some of the sex scenes were really hard. Because I've been writing forever. I've been writing since I was very, very young. And I was 16, 18 years old, I had tried to write a couple of sex scenes. And a friend read them, and she was laughing all the way through them. And I'm like, okay, we're never going to write this again. So I completely, for the next, 20 years of my writing, stayed away from it. I always led up to it and then closed the door behind myself when the characters were going to engage one another. Then the first time I actually wrote the very first sex scene I wrote with Nathaniel and Emmy with the raspberry sauce scene, I call it, that probably took me about 2 weeks to write that. And it just doesn't, I don't take that long to write things like that. And that was probably the toughest thing I had to write. And then everything else after that just became so much easier because I realized after I'd written that scene that I could do it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of research went into your writing consensual?
The number that Nathaniel quotes when he's doing his research is the same number I got when I started mine. Ridiculous. I started on Wikipedia, but I didn't stop there. I branched out immediately from there. I found other resources. I found blogs written by dom femdom dominatrixes. I found people who were in the lifestyle on Facebook. I talked to them. I let them talk among themselves. Sometimes it was just very interesting to read. And and of course I went into a few adult shops. You know, you can't do this without the adult shops. And I wanted to be as authentic as possible. So I probably, as I went along, I read more and more and more about it. So I didn't want to end up being accused of being another, you know, E.L. James, where she didn't do any of the research, or it seemed like she didn't do any of the research.
Boom. Heidi, Shirley, do you have any questions for Catherine?
Go ahead, Heidi.
Oh, dead silence from here. Hold on a second. Give me a second to think. You'd think I'd be prepared for that. Do you feel you have a closer relationship to Emmy or Nathaniel, one over the other?
Definitely Emmy. I can definitely relate to her. In real life, I'm a very, very alpha female. I often warn people, don't make me whip out the bitch. So.
Shirley, do you have anything?
I just have to ask you, Catherine, there were so many different things happening throughout the story, which I loved, and it was so easy to, I didn't get lost at all, and I loved that. But how did you keep that all straight so that the reader didn't get lost in the story?
Notes. I have always had, I usually do like a paragraph on a character study so that I know the character inside and out, and then I have those available for me immediately. Then I usually do, I'm a plotter. I start by the seat of my pants, and eventually I start plotting. So if you look at the notes for consensual, it starts about halfway through, and I start making plot points that I have to hit. Like, this happened here, so this has to happen here. You know, you make sure that you mention this early on so that it's not just a dead end, or it's just, you know, a Chekhov's gun is what it's called, where the gun is mentioned on the table but nothing happens with it. So I don't want to put those in there. I don't want to forget about mentioning that the gun is on the table because somebody can grab it later and that comes handy. So yeah, that's
Catherine,
what I... Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's just the way I have to do it because, you know.
Do you have a favorite part of this story or a piece of the story that has stuck with you?
Oh, absolutely. When Nathaniel goes into Chauvin's shop, it took me a long time to craft that part. I went back and rewrote that a couple of times because she just explained everything. It was just, I was imagining that I was trying to explain it to someone as an outsider and yet someone who understood it. And I have to say that what I had Chauvin say in the shop is what I would say to someone. And I just love the way that flowed out of her. And
yeah. What is important for you when you're writing your story? What is it that you try to convey to your readers? What do you want them to get out of your stories?
Enjoyment. The sense that they weren't really reading a story, but actually sort of watching a movie in their mind, so that the plot flows carefully and that you don't feel like you're going back and trying to figure out, well, what just happened? Wait a minute, let me rewind that. Where did I go? I want it to flow as smoothly as possible. I usually end up reading my books three times before I even start editing them.
Oh, really?
Because I want them. Yeah.
And about how long does it take you? How long did it take you to put together Consensual?
Consensual itself probably took me about 6-8 months, I want to say. Broken Bonds happened a lot faster. Consensual took about 6-8 months. That's pretty typical for me, 6-8 months to write something. My record is 10 weeks. So my other record we won't talk about.
Huh?
My other record we won't talk about.
That's for another show. How many books do you have planned for this series?
Let me see. Actually, I have it right in front of me. Let me go in here because I always forget. I'll always forget at least one of them. I believe it's 10 total for Club Imperial, 6 total for the Silver Soul series.
Does
yeah,
that make
I,
16 books or is that 10 altogether?
No, that's 16.
Awesome.
Because,
wow.
Yeah, they kind of took on a life of their own. And then I have actually another series
wow.
that I'm going to spin off. I'm going to spin off both of them called City of Steel. So there's a lot going on here.
It's called what?
It's called City of Steel. It deals with some of
oh,
the
okay.
other characters that aren't involved with the band or the club. So let's see. I know everybody wants a little bit more about Emmy and Nathaniel, and they are going to have a novella, which I started writing but haven't gotten very far in yet.
Yay.
That will be called The Return. Let's see. I'm introducing 2 new characters in the next one, TC and Killian. And then I have the character that right at the beginning of Consensual, Robert, will be getting his own story. Everybody
oh.
loves Allison, so she's getting her own. Franz and Victor will be getting theirs.
Yay!
And then there's a couple of other characters I'm going to introduce later on that actually one of them is going to be Cece's sister. So Emmy's sister and Cece's sister both get their own stories. So, yeah, I have 10 down here for this one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of goodness. We'll be looking forward to that.
I hope so.
Catherine, do you have a favorite author of BDSM? And what draws you to her work?
Calypso, Masters.
Okay.
I just love her stories. They're so well written and so genuine, and I just love what she does.
Yeah, I think she
they're
has
so marvelous.
Is it the Master series? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think it's the Rescue Me series. Masters at Arms. Masters at Arms is the first book. And then the other ones are like Nobody's Hero, Somebody's Hero. Gosh, I forgot all of them now. But
yeah.
I love them.
That's quite a few. Shirley, do you have anything for Catherine?
Well, you had asked her about other writers of BDSM, but in general, Catherine, what writers inspire you just in general?
Well, I actually studied literature, so I have very weird answers for this one. Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare. Shakespeare's Hamlet is my favorite classic novel, play, whatever you want to call it. I love Stephen King. The man needs to learn how to write the ending to a book, but I love his writing otherwise. I love to read, Frank Herbert. I don't know if you know him or not. He's science fiction. He's hard science fiction. He wrote Dune. That would be the one everybody knows him for. And I love this. She's not super well known, but I love her writing. Her name is Sherry S. Tepper, and she's written 2 of my favorite books. One is called Grass, and one is called The Gate to Women's Country. They're science fantasy type stuff. But one of my all time favorite books is actually a based on a true story, and it's called Woman at Point Zero, and it's by Nawal El-Sadawi. It's translated from Arabic into English, and that book has haunted me my whole life. So, my answer is all over the place.
Wow, yeah.
Catherine, you just had a paranormal release recently. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Passion Flames. Yes, they're my demon slayers. that's actually part of a huge, huge universe I'm working on. Some of it will be in the erotic romance, and some of it will be more in a new adult, regular adult fiction context. I guess would be the best word. But the Demon Slayers, another series called The Lestillions, and I murdered that one. It's Lestillions. And there's going to be a bunch of the Demon Slayer stories. There's probably, they're going to end up being novellas. And probably each of the characters I mentioned will get their own story. And we'll go back to Belle and Hale, and we're going to follow them as they try to figure out who's calling the demon and who's calling this demon and how they can stop them. And there'll be some guest appearances from other characters in that universe, particularly the prince and princess. So I'm very excited for the prince and princess.
Sounds good. You always have a lot going on.
I do have my first full-length paranormal that I'm working on right now, and that's an angels and demon story.
Okay. Can you share any bit of that?
Well, that's going to be, it's actually, I did a lot of research for this one, and it's based on Hebrew and the Jewish extra-biblical texts that are out there about demons and about angels, and it's in the Hebrew tradition. So there's going to be a lot of strange words in it, but it's based on a half demon, and in fact, the story is actually called Half Soul, and it's about this half demon and his love interest and his angelic guardian, Gad, and his hell guardian, or named Vasago. So that's going to be, it's going to be a 3-book series, and it's called The Realm, and the first book is going to be Half Soul. The next one is going to be Angel Sword, and the last one is called Ascension. And that will definitely be in the erotic genre.
Okay, sounds good. And you also have a anthology out, The Night Tides, and I believe your part of that is called Captain?
Yes.
Is that correct? Can you give us a glimpse into that?
That's the main character, Glenda, goes on a vacation, and with her boyfriend, her then-boyfriend, and basically realizes just into the vacation that she doesn't want to be with this guy anymore. So through a series of mishaps, she ends up sharing a suite with a gentleman named Alan, and things go very right from there. And that is the Night Tides anthology, and there are 10 really awesome stories in there. It's not, it's me and a couple of other girls. And some of them have actually started writing more with those characters. I don't think I'm going anywhere with Glenda and Alan, but it's a fun story to read.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to picking that one up. Heidi, do you have anything for Catherine?
When's the next consensual book come out?
I hope to have that out in April or May. That is my goal, is to get that one done. I'm not sure if it's going to be one or two books yet, because it's a very complicated story. But the first one will be called Knots. Either the whole thing is going to be called Knots, or the first one will be called Knots.
Oh, at least I have a timeline now.
Catherine, how easy or difficult is it for you to come up with the book titles?
Some of them just pop into my head. consensual, broken bonds, knots. Most of the new, most of the 12 Imperials are named. They have names. Destroyed, returned, the fine line, twisted. They all have, they just pop into my head. They work really well. And then sometimes there are stories that I have renamed six, seven, eight, nine times, and I just can't figure out what works for them. I've had to get my friends on the phone and say, please help me. I don't want to rename this book again.
I was saying earlier how great your the blurb is for Consensual that you have on Amazon, and asking the ladies what they thought of Emmy's stage name. How did you bring that about, her stage name?
Well, I always, I don't know, for some reason the name Tessa keeps sticking in my head for, like, everything. And then I thought, Tessa Saint, there's a nice little ring of irony to that, because she's really not a saint. She's the furthest thing from. So I just kind of like the sound of the name and the little bit of irony behind it. A lot of the girls at Imperial will have stage names.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And will you be going to see 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah. It's probably going to be a girls' night out with some of the girls I work with.
Uh-huh. How about you, Heidi and Shirley?
I have no desire to see the movie. I can't. I'm. My brother calls me a movie shrew. If things aren't right in the movies, I get very angry. So I know there's no way I can go see this movie and not leave angry. So I'm just not going to bother. Maybe when it's out on Redbox.
Sure. I have to say, I'm interested in the movie. I have not read any of the books. And I have, it's like my friends list is split 50-50. Half of them are just praising the book and they're waiting to see the movie, and the other half are talking about how bad it is. So I'm drawn to it. Well, I like the soundtrack. I'm a music person, so I like the soundtrack, and the clips do look sexy to me. So I'm really not familiar. Even with the actor, I'm not even familiar with him. I hear a lot of praise about him. I'm not even familiar with this guy.
I'm really terrified that they've shown all the good stuff on TV already.
Yes.
And you know what? I hate when that happens.
It's funny
that happens frequently.
I was thinking that.
There's so many movies now where there's so many trailers that the trailers are 45 minutes long. And the movie's only 120 minutes, and you're like, okay, never mind, I've seen it all.
You see everything funny or everything worth seeing, you know.
Exactly. That's exactly what they do now. How about you, Shirley?
Oh, there's a couple of girls I work with, and they keep talking that we all need to go more of just fun girls' night out, maybe a couple glasses of wine before we get there, just to help. With the fun, we're looking at it as a fun thing to do some night together as a group.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I don't know if I'd go to the theater. I'd spend the money to go to the theater.
Yeah. Catherine is going to share a little reading with us. When you're ready, Catherine. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
This is going to be from Half Soul, and we're plunging right into the middle of a, excuse the expression, we're plunging right into the middle of a sex scene here. okay. This is Gad and his girlfriend, Toria. So, let's see. He let go and with a last plunge into her, stilled himself, filling her with each thrust. Gad ran his hand down her back and caressed her hips for just a moment before pulling himself out of her and helping her lay down on the bed. He grabbed the wipe from the bedside and cleaned both of them carefully before laying down next to her. I'm so glad you came by tonight, Gad said. Toria turned her head to look at him and with a small, sad smile on her face. We need to talk, Gad. Oh, shit. He should have seen this coming. She traced the tattoo on his back lightly, sweetly. I love this. These wings always seem so real, and your skin is so gorgeous. Gad laughed, not really feeling it. Most guys would get rankled at being called gorgeous, but from you... Victoria sighed. Gad, I can't do this anymore. Do what? This. Us. Friends with benefits. What's wrong, Victoria? I can't do it, Victoria repeated. I'm a fool and a softy, and I know we said we wouldn't let this become war, and the truth is I've fallen in love with you. So I can't do this anymore. It's not friends with benefits for me. I'm sorry, I tried. So what? Gad stared into her beautiful brown eyes. I haven't seen anyone but you in nearly 8 months, Victoria confessed. Just you. And I can't do this to myself. I need to know if we're a possibility or if we're never going to happen. I came here tonight to end this, either way, either by us becoming a real couple or by us saying we won't ever work. Victoria, Gad sighed. She nodded and sat up from where they were. Gad, I want you as a partner in my life, a potential husband, or I can't have you in my bed at all. We are great friends. I just can't do this benefits part anymore without an upgrade. I understand, Gad said. Victoria, this isn't a simple yes question for me. She took a deep breath. I know. Victoria traced a finger over the wings again. I don't want to give up our friendship, but if I can't have all of you, I have to think about moving on. She placed her hand on his back. Will you think about this? Of course, he said. She leaned down and kissed his cheek. Call me, let me know. Gad blinked a few times and nodded. He watched as his beautiful woman walked around his room, at first naked and then eventually clothed. She paused at the door for just a moment, trying to decide if she should turn around and say goodbye one last time, and instead walked out and closed the door behind herself. Fuck. Gad rolled over to stare at the ceiling. There was a tinkling, pleasant laughter that filled the room a moment later. Did you just get dumped in your own damn bedroom? Gad turned to find a figure silhouetted against the lights outside. He shook his head and stared back at the ceiling. Who the hell let you in, Gabriel? I let me in. He walked into the light. You really aren't going after her? What the hell is the point? Gad asked, looking at him. Really, honestly, what the hell is the point? I love the woman and we have no future together. I wanted to take it to the next level and it's forbidden. She's an amazing person. She deserves to be happy. And I want to be that man, but I can't because I'm an angel. One who constantly gets in trouble and banished and rebanished from the realm. If you love her, I can't have her, Gabriel. Gad rolled onto his side and groped to the side of the bed for his boxers. You don't get that, do you? You've never been tempted by the flesh. I'll stop there.
Very nice. Mm.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah.
Okay. Clap.
Catherine, I do want to ask you about the consensual VIP. Can you tell everybody a little bit about that, say, you know, why you did that? Some readers may be more interested in that than your regular consensual book.
Yeah, it's consensual VIP. The VIP guest version is actually contemporary romance. It's not erotic romance. Basically what I did was I went in and I just turned down the language. Not the heat, but the language. A lot of people are put off by the what I call the C&P in those
mm-hmm.
books. And it just seemed like there are people who love to read them and they love the story, but they really couldn't, like, you know, they know that
right.
their neighbor likes romance and likes a little bit of contemporary romance, but I don't know about this erotic, you know, stuff. So I just toned the language down on it. And it's something you can share with, say, you know, your slightly more brutish neighbor. So I won't say mother because I know some mothers read dirtier than their children.
That's right. And do you have any signings or events coming up?
I do. I'm going to be at Authors in the City in Myrtle Beach in March. I will be at Yo Philly in May. I've sadly had to back out of my Dublin signing. I'm really sad about that. But I will be in, I believe I'm going to be in another Philly, and then there's, that one's going to be in November, and then there's one just before that called the Discreet Divas, which is also going to be, I think that's in King of Prussia. So, I mean, you can guess kind of where I live here. and I'm also hoping to get out. I just signed up. I'm hoping they offer it to me. For a signing in Pittsburgh in April. And I really want to go to Pittsburgh because the whole series takes place in Pittsburgh. So get the hometown crowd involved.
You got a lot going on. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you on social media?
Sure. You can find me at katherinerodes.com. You can find me on Facebook at Katherine Rhodes Author. You can find me on Twitter at Mistress_KAYRKR. You can find me on, I'm also on Sue, which is a new one, as I believe it's Mistress K on there as well. I think that's everything. I do have a Tumblr, which is called The Mistress's Cave. I don't put a lot on there, but sometimes when I do, it's a little risque, so do be careful there. You can find me on Pinterest under Katherine Rhodes. And I think that's just about everything.
Okay. Sounds good. I want to thank you for coming in and sharing with us tonight, Katherine. And Heidi and Shirley, I appreciate you coming in for this book discussion on consensual.
It was wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for including me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having them.
Absolutely. I guess that's going to be it for this week. Thank you all for coming in, chatting, and all Katherine's work can be found on Amazon.com. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.